This episode of Armchair Explorer is brought to you by the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada. Take your adventures to new heights and learn more at nissanusa.com.
I can say to my new Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra, hey, find a keto-friendly restaurant nearby and text it to Beth and Steve. And it does, without me lifting a finger, so I can get in more squats anywhere I can. One, two, three.
Will that be cash or credit?
Credit. Four.
Galaxy S25 Ultra, the AI companion that does the heavy lifting so you can do you. Get yours at Samsung.com. Compatible with select apps, requires Google Gemini account. Results may vary based on input. Check responses for accuracy.
I also want to ask you another thing, and that's mannequins.
Oh.
Why would, so there were mannequins there, right?
Yes, there was mannequins there. So behind us, the room, next room over, they had a whole mannequin scene set up. I don't know who came up with the concept of mannequins, but I want them to stop.
What? That's just stop. What I was going to say. What is it with historical sites and mannequins?
I don't know myself.
In this day and age, like, who stands up in that brainstorm meeting and says,
you know what we need?
We need some mannequins.
You know what really puts you in the scene?
And they're not good,
are
they?
They're never convincing. They're just the stuff of nightmares.
Like, I could literally use my imagination much
better. It'd be better that way.
Yeah. So... Some mannequins and historical sites. Sort it out. That's all I'm going to say.
That's our official pathway stance.
Yeah.
We're anti-mannequins.
We're anti-mannequins here. Anyway, happy Valentine's, everyone.
Happy Valentine's.
Let's get on with the show. So welcome to Armchair Explorer, guys. You're here with me, of course, Aaron Miller, your host, but more importantly, Jason Patton. the star of this show.
Hello, everybody.
We know it.
Yeah.
Jason, of course, is the lead producer here at Armchair Productions and also the lead cackler in the back of our on-location documentary.
Cackle or a seal, yeah.
You have an incredible
It's distinctive.
Yeah. It's distinctive. So welcome to Pathways. This is our February Pathways. This is where Jason and I kind of go through and preview what's coming up in the month ahead. We play some clips, talk about some behind-the-scenes stories and all that kind of fun stuff. We've got a lot of exciting stuff coming up this month. We've got a story about a guy who rode a horse from Canada to Brazil.
Whew.
Yep, took a while. It's Black History Month, of course, so we're going to run an episode with a guy called Eric Cedeno, a.k.a. the Bicycle Nomad.
Yes.
Does lots of cool trips. But this is an incredible story he did about following in the footsteps of the first all-African-American bicycle course. So it's a really, really cool story. I'm playing a clip from that later. What else? We're going on whale watching. We're going on a rhino run. I'll tell you about that later. And something... What else have we got coming up?
Oh,
the Civil War. You're getting dressed up, aren't you?
We're getting drafted into the Union Army at some point, so we'll talk about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start off with one of our adventure episodes. So these are like kind of our signature shows that we started off with. We've expanded and starting to do more different formats like this one. But these are the ones where we have the guests tell about one extraordinary, amazing story, and we kind of intercut that with some bits and pieces from me. This is a story from Felipe Massetti. It's called The Long Rider, and this is a clip from the trailer.
We got a letter saying, denied, you have 15 days to leave the country. Ultimately, every cell in my body was telling me to get on that horse and ride home.
When Philippe told me he was gonna do Canada to Brazil, I didn't believe.
That's why 95% of the people who have ever written me never set off.
It just got stronger and stronger the older I got. I was very scared, very scared. Just convincing people that a 20-something-year-old kid who had no previous experience long riding could pull off one of the longest and most arduous rides of the 21st century. And that's when my life fell apart.
You'd think it would be able to travel quicker using a horse all the way down there. But in some ways, it took him a lot longer because I was traveling with two horses that he would sort of swap out. Everywhere he went, he had to find somewhere to stable the horses and to feed them and water them. So it was really hard to sort of link the journey together.
That's crazy. I never thought about that side of it.
Yeah.
Huh.
And plus, it's not easy to bring two horses across a border.
No. Did he ever think about just doing it without the horses?
Well, the whole point's the horses. By the way, The Long Rider.
It sounds like a great Western.
Yeah.
Starring Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Is that who you cast in it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Is John Wayne still alive?
So that's a good one to check out. But first of all, Jason, horse stories. I've had some bad luck with
you
horses.
You have indeed. Arabian horses, American horses.
I have Colombian horses.
Colombian horse? Yeah, I don't know about this one.
Okay, so.
I was more of a camel man myself. The Arabian horses
yes,
were cool,
were.
But
yes, you were.
The lashes on those camels.
You fell in love. Mm. Yeah, you did. So anyway, my Colombian runaway horse story is I was going in the sort of foothills above Bogota, and I had the most docile horse you've ever had in your life. Like, I was at the end of this train of horses. And this is like a really fun way to do it as well. Like, you'd never get away with this in America, but they take like a sort of boombox from the 1980s stereo, like you would put over your shoulder in a hip hop video from the 1980s, and like tequila. And you basically do shots of tequila and listen to like Colombian music.
It's such a great like image in my
it's
mind.
Incredible
right now.
Combo.
A boombox on one shoulder and just a bottle of tequila.
And the bottle of tequila is like holstered.
Draw.
And anyway, yeah.
Shots at high noon.
I know, exactly. This is my kind of Western. And then I couldn't get this horse to move. We get to the top of the like hill where we're doing a lookout, do a shot of tequila, and then we'll do to turn around. And the second I turn around, this horse just bolts it. Like, this is the laziest horse in the world, except when he's heading home.
Oh, yeah.
And
classic.
My horse bolts it. And the hill that we had kind of gone up has these little villages either side. So it's not like I was just completely in the wild. I was on a runaway horse through Colombian villages, right? And I had no idea what the Spanish for get out of the way was.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So I was just like screaming like, ah, and people were like jumping side by side. It's this galloping runaway horse. There were children there.
Cinematic.
Yeah, yeah. It was crazy. And about halfway through, there was me and this. And oh, that was the worst thing. There was a little kid, the Colombian kid who was next to me. And when my horse took off, they took him with him.
Oh, no.
It was like 14 years old.
No.
It was like we were galloping right together. But about halfway through, we just thought, this is the most fun I've ever had.
And that's how you somehow keep getting back up on horses, even though that keeps happening to you.
Yeah, I might be done with, to be like absolutely clear though, I like horses. Horses don't like me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that they're like really empathic animals doesn't say anything about me.
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No. So that's going to be really fun. We also have an episode coming up for Black History Month. This is Eric Cedeno. And the story of this is he came across an old photograph and it completely changed his life, actually. It was taken in 1897 and it showed these 20 black soldiers riding bicycles across the West. This is, believe it or not, this was the point in time in which like the bicycle had recently been invented and they wanted to test its efficacy.
Oh, if it was like a good means of transport for like a military. That's why I just like going along on a country road. Like, ching, ching.
I know. And this isn't like modern bikes with gears.
No.
Like, this is like bikes that barely work.
Yeah.
Right? We're to 1897.
They probably weigh
bikes.
Like 200 pounds a piece out of solid iron.
Yeah. There's like the wheels are just wood, you know.
The
like
brakes are put your feet down.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's 1900 miles from Montana to Missouri. So incredibly arduous journey. So Eric basically decides to recreate this. And here's a little clip from that. I think you guys are really going to like this one.
And then I came across this photo of 20 black soldiers traveling by bike, and I never knew about it. And I was like, oh, how come I didn't know about this in middle school or high school or even college? And I just felt cheated. You know, I started traveling by bike when I was 34 years old, and I probably would have started when I was in college if I would have learned about this. They became my inspiration as well to travel, because now I saw people of color, black men traveling by bike, and I wanted to learn more. I wanted to know who those guys were, like their names, their personality, what they went through.
So this is a really interesting episode. Eric goes through all sorts of stuff, and it's obviously got this deeper significance about the way that black people are represented, or I should say underrepresented in adventure sports today. And so he's a real beacon for that. And I think it's a really great story in a number of ways. But let's go from that to you dressing up like a Civil War soldier.
Yeah, somewhat in that time period. I got to say, that episode, by the way, is one of my favorites of all time on Armchair. Oh, wow. So really excited that's coming out again this month. But yeah, in that same time period of discussion, over this last summer, I went on a trip to South Dakota with Brian Thacker, one of our favorite presenters that we work with here at Armchair. And we stepped back in time. We put on Union Army outfits. We were given muskets. We were given all the equipment. And we went through an entire historical festival dedicated to that time period and kind of like keeping a little bit of the, you know, that those traditions alive in a certain way.
And I think what was funny about this too is that you didn't realize this was going to happen.
No.
You just turned up and they're like, no, you're in the show.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm down. All right. So we're out. We're learning marching formations. We're learning how to shoot. We're learning all the orders. It's so hard to do, honestly.
It sounded.
There's a million different commands and they're all screamed at you. So it's kind of scary. There's thousands of people come to the historical festival every year. It was huge. But the part that I wanted to highlight in this clip, very authentically, we were supposed to spend the night camping outside with our regiment in these period accurate open canvas tents with no doors, no, just the wind kind of coming through. Chilly night. We didn't have sleeping bags. I don't think any of the other people were using those either. They just had like wool blankets and stuff, but we weren't nearly as tough as them. So they ended up putting us in the original hospital in the fort, which is from, you know, hundreds of years ago, where soldiers have been in there and dying of plagues. And I personally was terrified. But I'll let the clip speak for itself. Yeah. This is one of my favorite moments in the episode.
Yeah, I love this scene.
Woolen clothes aside, it was a bit chilly for us, so we passed on sharing the open-air tent. Instead, Ali organized for us to stay in the original Fort Hospital. Just us, alone in the old ward in a huge, empty building with no electricity. Nothing to be scared of, right?
So probably one of our most prominent ghost is actually in the hospital. So we had an intern during 2020 who he came up here, but because of COVID, he couldn't find a place to stay. So we said, okay, you can stay in the hospital. We made him a nice room and everything like that. The next day I came in, I'm like, how'd you sleep? He goes, I slept pretty good. I said, oh, I said, did anything crazy happen? Totally drunk. He goes, well, yeah. So about 1 o'clock in the morning, I heard footsteps. They were marching up the stairs. He goes, and then they came to the door. And then they stopped. And then I heard him go back down the stairs. I said, oh, I said, what'd you do? He goes, I went back to sleep. I said, okay. So then about 2 weeks later, I'm like, how's it going in the hospital? You know, kind of concerned, you know, there's no electricity in this thing. And this kid is sleeping in there by himself. And we know we have ghosts. And he goes, well, the ghosts are getting braver. I go, oh. And he goes, yeah, they come in and they lay on my bed sometimes. They sit on my bed. And I go, and what do? He goes, I just roll over. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, most of us would like run out screaming or running. He goes, yeah, I just rolled over and went back to sleep. And I'm like, but yeah, he said that every night he would have a visitor. And we think it's one of the orderlies that passed away up here and stuff. So, but then we also had volunteers sleep there one night. And this one volunteer was sleeping actually in one of the hospital beds you guys will be staying in. He was sleeping and all of a sudden he woke up and, you know how you have that feeling that someone's watching you and you just kind of, but you're kind of sleeping and he kind of just opens his eyes and there was a soldier standing over top of him, like staring at him in his face. He's never slept in that hospital again, but yeah.
So can we get a hotel in town?
Yeah. No, it's probably all booked.
You're
no.
Like, oh, I'm not sure about
you will be
this.
Fine. They're nice ghosts.
But it wasn't just the ghost we had to worry about. So I'm lying in the hospital bed from a mattress from 1867, which is a mattress filled with straw. Yeah, we're going to try to sleep here. We'll try our best. Jason, you still awake? Jason? Oh, no. All right. Good night, and hopefully I'll see you in the morning.
Good night, and good luck.
This episode of Armchair Explorer is brought to you by Nissan. I'm really thrilled to continue partnering with Nissan because, as all you guys know, this show is all about celebrating the pure joy of exploration and the joy of propelling your adventures to new heights. I hope we inspire you to do that. And Nissan is here to help you find that next adventure with the all-new Nissan Armada Pro 4X. It's got a powerful new engine. It's got incredible towing capacity and adventure-ready technology. The Armada Pro 4X is the first Nissan Armada to earn that Pro 4X badge, so that's really cool. It's also super plush inside. It's got a premium interior for up to 8 passengers and tow 8,500 pounds worth of adventure toys as well. So thanks again to Nissan for sponsoring this episode of Armchair Explorer. Explore further with the Nissan Armada Pro 4X, and you can learn more at nissanusa.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Huddle up. It's me, Angel Reese. You can't beat the post-game burger and fries, right? Know what else you can't beat? The Angel Reese special. Let's break it down. My favorite barbecue sauce, American cheese, crispy bacon, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun, of course. And don't forget the fries and a drink. It's going to be a high C for me. Sound good? All you have to do to get it is beat me in a one-on-one. I'm just playing. Get the Angel Reese special at McDonald's now. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating restaurants for a limited time.
So that one, I think, was a bit outside of this episode's theme about going from one place to another place very far away using some means of transport. But you've got another one of those for us, don't you?
So actually, yeah, as I think of it now, so this is another biking episode, very different vibe. And I'm really pleased to announce that this is the first in a series we're doing with Red Bull.
Charles, thank you.
They are launching a new series, well, the third series in their podcast called How to Be Superhuman. I really, really enjoy
Wait,
this.
Is the answer to that find the nearest nuclear reactor and climb inside or something like that?
Get bit by a poisonous radioactive spider.
I'm assuming not, but all right.
Yeah, if you could, wait a minute. So if you could
haunted surfboard.
Have any superpower, what would it be?
Me? Any superpower at all?
Yeah.
Fly? Oh, you gotta think deeper than that.
Yeah,
you gotta think deeper than that.
Actually, so this reminds me, I was in Japan once walking this thing called the Kumano Koda, which is this long distance kind of pilgrimage path that's been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. But this is where all the legends of the like kung fu ninjas that could jump up trees and do all this stuff happened, because they had these Shugendo monks who, it was said, could, they sort of meditated in this special way and immersed themselves in nature and adventure, and that gave them superhuman powers for real. So there was like this real superhuman thing. And to this day, they do crazy things like meditate under freezing waterfalls for like 45 minutes, an hour, where most of us would get hypothermia. So it's pretty cool. So anyway, I met this Shugendo monk and I said, so, you know, what's your superpower? Like, how often do you get to ask that question? And he looked at me and he said, I can look inside people's hearts and see what's hurting them and help them.
Oh my gosh, that's so heavy.
Damn. So I would just choose to fly.
Yeah.
But this guy,
call me crazy.
This guy's got an awesome superpower.
Wild.
Yeah. Anyway, that has absolutely nothing to do with Red Bull and their new series, How to Be Superhuman, which is a great show. I've really enjoyed getting into this. It's sort of similar to what we do in many ways.
Yeah.
It tells adventure stories, incredible people doing extraordinary things. And the episode that we're going to share this week is this about this guy called Abdullah Zainab. And he did this thing called the Rhino Run. I don't want to talk too much about it. I want to let the clip speak for itself. But just to set the scene really quickly, the Rhino Run is this insane ultra endurance bikepacking race where riders travel about 1,700 miles across South Africa and into Namibia. And it is wild. And this guy, Abdullah, is even wilder. So let's check out that clip now.
Abdullah Zainab is racing through Africa on his bike. He's been riding for 7 days.
It's like something just came into me like a light bulb, like a thunder strike from heaven.
The race had nearly broke him, but now he was just hours from the finish line, with only one man between him and victory.
It was just like, this time you're going to go and you're not going to look back at him. It was almost like someone was saying to me, don't you dare look back.
They were side by side, eating up a sense like they were nothing, gliding over rocks and sand like it was freshly laid tarmac.
I remember these two people came out to watch the race in the middle of this like hilly desert section, and they were screaming, go, go, go.
It was the dead of night in Namibia.
My front light was about to run out of battery, but I just high-beamed it, and I put my head down, and I just thought, don't look back, and go as hard as you absolutely can.
Abdullah could sense his rival dropping behind him, feeling his heavy breathing fading into the blackness.
I just started screaming. I had never screamed like that in my life. It was weird. I literally roared like a lion.
So lots of fun stuff coming up this month, Jason. And now it's time for your favorite part of the episode, which is the credits.
Oh,
so we've gotten into this habit of like doing the credits in like a different musical style. We started with hip hop.
You're welcome, everybody.
We've done soul.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, because it's Valentine's this month, yeah, we do the credits in the style of Marvin Gaye.
All right, I got you. You're gonna do the read.
I'll do it. Yeah. Okay.
Boom, boom, boom.
Wake up.
Boom, boom, boom.
Baby, produced by Armchair Productions, hear our seduction. And baby, presented by Aaron and Jason, don't chasing us. And when the recording's complete, healing, Charles Tyree makes it sound sweet. We got audio healing. It's good for me. Yeah. Armchair Explorer Podcast, baby.
Oh, see you guys next month.
Take it easy. Sexual healing. It's good